And welcome back to Your Best Friends Podcast. I am your host and best friend, Aurora. I'm really excited about today's episode. I think we'll probably just jump right in. We are doing some polls. Well, so I did some polls on my Instagram story yesterday and I had everybody vote. And we're going to talk about those polls and the results of them. I do want to say that I got this idea from the What We Said podcast, which is a podcast I love. I've been listening to them since they came out. So if you are looking for a good podcast to listen to, then the What We Said podcast is a great place to start. I know that they got the idea from another podcast. I cannot remember what the other podcast is called. I think it's called like Juicy Polls or something. Like it has the name polls in the podcast. Or maybe it's just an Instagram account. Anyway, we are going to talk about some controversial things. We're gonna, you know, some of them are like silly, some of them are not silly. And then a few of them I actually ended up opening up to discussion and having you guys DM me your thoughts. And we're gonna kind of talk about those too, because, this is gonna be a fun, like, discussion-y podcast episode. Sorry, I got kind of distracted there. I'm lighting my juniper cleansing bundle, and I'm just like waving it around before I like really get into this. Anytime I work, I like kind of cleanse my space, and it is a different day than I usually record because I forgot to prepare. I had the podcast episode picked out for this week, but then I forgot to post all of the polls on Monday, and so I had to do it last night. So today's Wednesday, so I'm running a little bit behind, but that's okay. So if you guys hear my kids screaming in the background at all, that is because they are outside playing with their babysitter right now. And every once in a while, they decide to poke their head in and yell. Not the babysitter, just the kids. I don't think I have any life updates to really share before we get going. Other than the fact that we are going to go visit Seth's family this weekend, which will be fun-ish. It's like a family reunion. I am not big on large family gatherings, especially as we are coming out of COVID. Most of Seth's family is anti-vax, and so I know that most of them will not be vaccinated. I think there might be one sibling that, maybe two, that are not anti-vax. And so I don't love that. So we're only going for one day and they're really upset about that. But one of his brothers is a literal Nazi. Like, and I mean that literally. I don't mean that just like, oh, he's a Nazi. No, he's literally a Nazi. So I'm excited to start fights with him. And I can't wait to tell you guys how all of the fights that I start with him go. I will return a report. Okay. Let's get into some polls though. Let's talk about these juicy polls. So starting off with an easy one. The first one was, which peanut butter is supreme, creamy or crunchy? And 67% of you said creamy, which is the right answer. So I'm glad that so many of you agreed. The most shocking and upsetting part of this poll was that my husband voted for crunchy. I have not bought crunchy peanut butter once in the entire 6 years we've been married. I'm pretty sure he's told me a few times that he prefers crunchy, and I've told him that he's wrong, and then I continue to buy creamy. But also, he doesn't ever eat peanut butter or anything with peanut butter on it. Like, he's not a big peanut butter and jelly guy, like sandwich guy, so I don't feel bad about it. Okay, the next poll was Instagram or TikTok, which one is better? We got 60% for Instagram. I do think that it's fair to say that obviously this was posted on Instagram. So if I were to post the same poll on TikTok, I feel like it would sway more towards TikTok than Instagram. But with that in mind, I'm honestly shocked at how close it is for this poll being on Instagram. I personally prefer TikTok. I think it is a website that I can waste way more time on. And I think that the content you see is so much more diverse because of the way that the algorithm works. So you see people that you don't normally see. I mean, like, I guess it would depend on how you use Instagram. So I don't really love Reels. I post Reels, but I don't really watch Reels. Like, I never go through the Reels tab on Instagram. I will watch Reels if they pop up in my feed, but those are only from people I follow. I also don't really spend time on the Explore page on Instagram either. So maybe if I did those things, my experience on Instagram would be different. But even then, with the Explore page, they will just show you all of the same images. Does that make sense? Like, anytime I go to search somebody on Instagram, immediately when I go back to the Explore page, every single picture is something like that. Every once in a while, it'll be like something different, but for the most part. So I'm curious to know, maybe I should have asked this too. I'm curious to know how many people actually like scroll through the Explore page, or if it's just like, if you click over to the Explore page to search something and then you see a cute photo or something interesting, you click on it, or if you actually spend active time on the Explore page, because that's not something I've ever done. But I will say that with TikTok, I like that they have a following versus a For You page, because I do love all the people that I follow, but I love seeing so many different types of content and all the different trends on the For You page. And I just think that it's a better app, personally. Okay, the next question was podcasts or music? And we got 60% for music, 40% for podcasts. I think it really depends on what you're doing. And there's so many different types of podcasts out there, and everybody listens to different stuff. Like, so when I listen to podcasts, I listen to almost exclusively true crime and tarot podcasts, and that's it. I don't really listen to other lifestyle podcasts, because I used to listen to a lot of them, and I've slowly stopped, like, I've slowly started unsubscribing from them, even the ones that I really enjoy, because as a podcast host, I compare myself to them very harshly, especially if it's a podcast that started after mine, but I know that they have more listeners, or they're more successful, or I feel like they're funnier than I am, or for whatever reason. And so I get really insecure about the content I'm producing if I feel like their content's better, which is just subjective and it doesn't matter. So even though there are some podcasts that I really enjoy, I just can't listen to them anymore, which is a little sad. And I'm hoping that I get to a point where I don't feel that way and I can go back and catch up on those podcasts. So that being said, sometimes, maybe this is just because I have ADHD, sometimes I can't focus on podcasts. Like, I will be listening to a podcast and I cannot focus on a single thing that's being said. I truly, like, all of the words, like, I'm listening to this podcast right now. I really like Counter Clock, which is, it's a true crime podcast, but it's investigative journalism based. And so an entire season is on one case, and it's really interesting, and it's not really like any other true crime podcast that I've listened to, except for maybe Cold. And so I was working on my stairs yesterday, which I'm still working on, and I was listening to it, and I listened to a whole episode. I don't even know what happened during that episode, because for some reason, my brain could not focus on any of the words. And so those are the times when music is much better. So I think it's kind of I think most people are a both person, and then they just have one that they lean towards more than the other. Okay, the next question was, do you believe in astrology? 67% yes, 33% said no. I am not here to try to completely change your mind, but I will say everyone that I know that is an astrology disbeliever, including, I used to be a disbeliever in astrology, like 3 years ago, we recorded a podcast episode on astrology. It never made it to the podcast because we lost the episode, but we looked up our like entire birth charts right then and there for the first time, beyond just knowing what our sun sign was, and we were absolutely shook to our core at how accurate the other aspects of our charts were, especially like moon and rising signs. I don't know. I'm not saying you have to believe in astrology just because I believe in astrology, but I will just say that if you are skeptical, looking at your entire birth chart definitely is way more insightful into who you are as a person and really like encapsulates so much more of your personality than just your sun sign. Your sun sign is such a small aspect of who you are. I don't know. There's just so much to astrology. And even if you don't believe in it, I think it's just fun. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I can't convince you to like astrology, but I believe in astrology. Okay, the next one was dogs or cats. We got 71% for dogs, 29% for cats. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say my husband voted for cats. Let's see. He did. My husband voted for cats, despite the fact that we just got a dog. So do I feel betrayed? No. But personally, I did pick dogs. Next, we've got, okay, these are some, we're going to have a few like a little bit risque, a little bit juicy, ones. So we've got, have you ever walked in on your parents doing the deed? We have 79% said no, but 21% said yes. For the 21% of you that voted yes, I unfortunately did vote yes. And I got a few DMs about it, about this question specifically being like, it was incredibly traumatic, but at the time I didn't realize what was happening. And then when I was in college or when I was an adult or whatever, like I realized. And that's what happened to me, was that when I was, I don't know, under the age of 10. And like, for me, I did not have a comprehensive sex education. I did not know how really anything worked until I was in college. And so maybe this experience is like unique to those of us who were incredibly sheltered. But yeah, I definitely had no idea what was happening when it happened. I just knew that it was weird and uncomfortable. And then later on, I was like, oh my God, that is what was happening. That's incredibly uncomfortable and embarrassing, and I hate it. So for the 21% of you, how's therapy going? Okay, the next question was, do you masturbate? 73% said yes, 27% said no. I got a DM from someone that said 27% of people are lying, which I thought was funny. Here's the thing about masturbating, is that it is so, there's so much shame around it, and I don't think it's necessary. I think, okay, this is like, it's such a difficult topic because it's your body and you should be comfortable with your body. And so I think, I'm not going to say that every single person that voted no was lying, because I think there's a broad spectrum, right? So there are some people who just have lower libidos. And so those people probably, and if those people that have a low libido that are in a relationship with someone probably don't feel a desire or a need for any sort of sexual gratification outside of their relationship with their partner. That is what I'm going to assume most of the people who said no. I'm going to assume that's why they said no, because I completely understand that. I think that's a really valid thing. And also, some people really just have a low libido. Some people don't like to. Some people haven't had that chance to explore and like figure out what they like. I also think, like for me, I never did until I discovered some good toys. And even then, I really don't very often, because I mean, first of all, for me personally, when would I have the time, right? And I know that's not universal for everybody. And here I am talking about my personal sex life on my podcast, but I don't really have a lot of time to do that. Like, I am at home with my kids all day. Like, I'm sure that I could find time. I'm sure that I could, but it's not enough of a motivator for me to have that be like a regular part of my like weekly routine, if that makes sense. I don't necessarily think that everybody who said no is lying. I think that, and like, there are some people, like, you could be asexual, and so that's just not something that appeals to you. But I do just think that if you don't, but it's because of shame, then maybe you should like explore that and explore why you feel that way, because I think it's a natural, I think it's completely natural. I am pro masturbation. I will say that, and like here I am, I'm about to get like extra controversial. If you've listened to either of the sex podcast episodes that I've released in the past, you will know a little bit more about this. But I personally, while I am pro masturbation, I am anti-porn. And I know that seems like they would go hand in hand, but I think I'm pro ethical porn. And I think that it's difficult to, not difficult to find that, but I think a lot of people aren't motivated to find it. And so I think if that is something that you're going to consume, I think that you should be mindful and careful of how you consume it. I personally, I'm very demisexual. So porn is not something that appeals to me. And so I don't watch it. I just don't like it. And I'm not trying to shame you if you do like it. And I'm not anti-porn because I am demi. I'm anti-unethical just because there's such a gray area in there and it's impossible to know like completely like whether everything was consensual, you know? And so I think you just got to be careful. There are some companies out there, especially I know that there's a company that is completely owned by women and everything is like consensual and people get to pick the partners that they're working with. It is relatively whitewashed. That company that I'm thinking of, I think it's called Belesa, B-E-L-L-E-S-A. People talk about it on TikTok all the time. I'm not an expert on where or what is ethical in the porn industry, but that is my take. My other take on porn, since we're talking about this, is that within a relationship, I think that's where there's also a little bit of a gray area with it, that I think you as someone in a relationship should be able to set a boundary and say, hey, I'm not comfortable with you watching porn, or I'm not comfortable with you watching certain like types of porn. Like, does that make sense? Like, I feel like, and I think that's valid. I think that's an appropriate thing for you to say. I think it would be inappropriate for you to say you're never allowed to masturbate, but I do think it's appropriate for you to say, hey, these are the reasons that porn makes me uncomfortable and I don't want you to watch it within this relationship. And that's a relationship, that's like completely per like relationship to relationship thing. That should be a conversation you have with your partner and not with me over my podcast. Sorry for talking about that so long. We will move on. The next question was, do you feel comfortable / confident with your sexuality? We got 79% said yes and 21% said no. I hope that the 21% of you that said no, you're able to explore that, because I think, I don't know, sexuality's hard. It's not as black and white as we were taught it was. I think that most of us were taught it was when we were younger. And so it's difficult to pinpoint exactly what it is. And so I hope that you are given the opportunity and the chance to explore that soon. Okay, out of those questions, next question is, can you keep a houseplant alive? We got 59% said yes, 41% said no. I got multiple DMs that said it depends on the plant. And same. There are some plants that I kill every single time. I cannot keep alive a calathea. I cannot. I've had three and I've killed every single one. The last one I didn't completely kill, but I did give away because it was starting to just go downhill. And I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I need to find somebody who is better at filling their humidifiers every single day. Another plant that I have killed every time is angel vines. I love angel vines. They are so pretty. I have had four and I have killed every single one. And I'm so sad about it. So I have not bought another one since the last one died. Someday I hope to be able to have an angel vine and keep it alive. This one says, when do you want / would you want to have kids? So this was one of those ones where I had a sliding scale. So I don't really have a way of knowing exactly like which one got the most votes, but so there was never, 20 to 24, 25 to 30, and 30 plus, and the average was 25 to 30, so overall. So we got we got a few nevers. I mean, we got some of everything. But I would say the average was between 25 and 30, which I feel like is a complete, like, I'm happy that that's the answer that we got, because I think, I don't know, like, first of all, I made sure to include never because I don't want anyone to ever think, like, just because I'm a mom, I think everybody should be a mom, because I don't. I think there's way too much pressure for people to be moms. And so I have this friend, Alicia, she was on the podcast last year, who, she does not want children ever. And people are always DMing her and, like, not harassing her, but being like, oh, you'll change your mind, or like, oh, you'll, like, you'll want to have kids, or like, oh, you'll regret not having kids, or like, oh, do you think you wouldn't be a good enough mom, or like, blah, 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 blah. Some people just don't want to be parents, and that is completely valid. And, like, why do we as a society feel like we have to put pressure on people to be parents? Like, I personally wanted to be a mom. I love being a mom. But other people don't want to, and that is completely fine. Like, I don't know. Anyway, but I wanted to say that I'm glad that it was kind of on the lower, or like the higher end of the spectrum, just because most of my audience lives here in Utah. Most of my audience lives here in Utah, and I assumed that most of the people who voted would vote on the lower end because of that, because there is this, like, weird societal pressure. Even if you aren't Mormon, or even if you didn't grow up Mormon, there's this weird societal pressure in Utah to have kids really young. That's why I had kids really young. Like, if I could go back, I'd wait a few more years, I think. But yeah, so I'm glad that everything was a little bit further along. Okay, the next question was mountains versus beach. This was really close. We got 51% for beach and 49% for mountains. I will let you guess which one I voted for versus which one my husband voted for. The next one is, do you fart in front of your partner? We got 72% said yes, 28% said no. I don't. I try not to. I won't say I don't, but I try not to. I still feel embarrassed. I still feel embarrassed. And I'll tell you why. When I was in high school, I dated this boy. And, like, okay, you know, in high school when farting in someone from, in front of someone is, like, the most embarrassing thing. Maybe it wasn't to everyone else, but it was to me. And I distinctly remember I was on this church trip. And there was this boy that I really liked was on the church trip. And we sat next to each other in the back of my parents' van the whole time. And we drove from New Mexico to Utah and visited, like, 17,000 temples. And then we went home. And there was this one night where we were staying at somebody's house, and we were having, like, a barbecue, and I went to sit down next to him, and I pulled my legs up onto the chair, kind of like how I'm sitting right now, and when I did, somehow a massive fart slipped out, and he started laughing, so I started laughing, and he goes, did you just fart? And I go, I don't know, because I totally did, but I didn't even have to. Like, it just happened, and it was so shocking to me, and I was so embarrassed. Like, that was my most embarrassing moment in all of high school. I was so embarrassed. I was mortified. We did end up dating later, so, like, obviously that was not a deterrent for him, but I was mortified. And so since then, I have been like, absolutely not. I will never fart in front of my partner. So, like, if I do, not the end of the world. And, like, if I do, Seth and I completely, like, ignore it. Like, it's not a big deal. He farts in front of me. We don't care. But personally, I feel weird about it. It's not that he would feel weird about it. It's just that I do. So for the 28% of you that voted no, I'm with you. Okay. This one says, do you sleep with a stuffed animal or comfort item from your childhood? 77% said no, but 23% said yes. Until I got married, I still did. When Seth and I were dating, I did, like, every single night that he spent the night at my apartment and we were, you know, cuddling in bed together, I had my tattered little baby blanket that I slept with every single night. And I think I had some stuffed animals too that I slept with every single night until we got married. And then after we got married, it still stayed in the bed with us for a while until I kind of was like, this thing's getting really beaten up, and so I'm going to put it into storage to make sure it does not get completely destroyed. The next one was, okay, this is one of those ones that's going to have kind of a discussion, was, is there ethical consumption under capitalism? So we've got 65% said no, 35% said yes. This is what's difficult. So I got a few DMs about this. I'm trying to find them. So this person said, only small business owned and operated by one person. And then they said, actually, no, I take that back because of global exploitation. This is such a difficult question because my instinct is no, there's not. And I think that still the answer is no, but that's not our fault. And my point with that question was not to like shame anybody into thinking that like you can't buy anything or consume anything, because it's not a problem created by us. And so I'm not saying like that you shouldn't care, but I'm also saying it's not your fault. Like you shouldn't feel guilty for ordering something online. You shouldn't feel guilty for buying something. But I do think that it's helpful to kind of think about our consumption like habits and kind of think about, I don't know, think about not ways that you can cut back, but like, I don't know, it helps me to realize. So I saw a TikTok a few days ago, which I say like literally the entire episode long. I saw a TikTok where this girl was like, she worked for, I want to say some sort of recycling clothing company. And she was like, when you realize that there are enough clothing items already made that they could clothe every single person on this earth for the rest of their life without creating any more clothing or whatever. And I saw that right after I had just gotten a big shipment of clothing from a company. And I was like, well, now I feel like shit. And I think as far as consumption goes under capitalism, look, as long as we are in a capitalist world, I think the best you can do, and if someone disagrees with me, please feel free to comment or DM me so we can talk about it. I think what's important is to be mindful of where you're spending that money, right? So instead of being like, okay, I'm not going to buy anything ever again, I think the point is like, okay, well, when I have to buy something, I'm going to try to buy from a locally owned or a small business shop, especially if it's owned by a woman, instead of ordering off of Amazon, right? So, or like going into small bookstores instead of ordering off Amazon, things like that. So like, for example, if I would like to buy new jewelry, I will go and buy jewelry from a small business that I know is run by a few women or one woman or something like that. And that is a purchase that I feel comfortable with because I want to support other women and I want to support small businesses. And I think that that is the most ethical we can be under capitalism. And so again, I'm not trying to guilt anybody or make them feel like they can't buy anything, but I think that if it's something you're concerned about and you do think that no, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, that the most ethical thing you can do is to buy from small businesses, especially women-owned businesses, and then also trying to like reduce, reuse, recycle as much as possible, like thrifting and stuff. So that is my thought on capitalism. The next question was, are you going to light fireworks on July 4th if your state is in a drought? 90% of you said no. And I'm going to be honest, I'm really disappointed in the 10% of you that said yes. Too many of you said yes, okay? For a while, it was 100% no. And then we got a few votes for yes. And so my question to you is why? Okay, because first of all, I'm just going to be completely blatantly honest here. I think the 4th of July is a stupid holiday, okay? Because it is meant to honor like the people who have fought for this country, right? Because I took history and July 4th was not actually the day. Is it the day that we signed the Declaration of Independence? Listen, I know that now the reason that we are supposed to be celebrating the 4th of July, quote unquote, is partially in honor of those who fought for our country, right? However, fireworks are a massive trigger to PTSD, which is something that most veterans and people who have fought for our country have. And so it is an incredibly triggering holiday for veterans. And so if you actually cared about the reason behind celebrating, if it's something that you're interested in celebrating, then you would not light off fireworks. And so personally, I think fireworks are stupid. I have PTSD, and so I do, not from fighting for our country or whatever, but I do have PTSD, and fireworks are very triggering to me. And so maybe that's why I'm so passionate about it. And most years, it's just kind of like an annoying thing. Like, yes, I hate fireworks, and I think that they are set off way too often. Like, I wouldn't really be that mad if people really stuck to just the one night, right? Like, if just on July 4th, people set off fireworks. But people set off fireworks the entire month of July, even when it's not legal. And so that frustrates me. But if it was just the one holiday, I'll let you guys have that. But when we are in a drought, we are in the, like, a historic drought here in Utah. Obviously, that's not everywhere. But we are in a historic drought, guys, like, so bad. We are set to completely drain 3 reservoirs this summer. 3 reservoirs this summer, because it has not rained at all this spring, like, at all. It's rained like 2 times. We are fucked, guys. And fireworks are a massive cause of fires, and they will spread because nothing is wet, and that will further drain our water resources. Like, it just feels like common sense to not light fireworks. It just seems like common sense. And I wish that our stupid governor would put a ban on fireworks for the holiday, but instead he just thinks that we should ask God to give us more water. So, okay, sorry about the political rant. I just really think we shouldn't light fireworks when we're in a drought. Maybe that's just me. The next question was, do you follow a majority of influencers or creators or real life friends on Instagram? 73% said friends, 27% said creators. That's basically what I thought was going to be the answer. Personally, I follow more creators than friends. I don't think anyone's surprised by that answer though. The next question was, do you eat vegetables? 96% said friends. Yes. Oh my God. The next question is, do you eat vegetables? 96% said yes. So for the 4% that said no, are you okay? Because vegetables are important. I was going to have the question be, do you eat vegetables every single day? And then decided that that was unfair because, listen, I'm going to be honest, I do not eat vegetables every single day. I eat vegetables most days, but I think it depends on what you count as a vegetable. Like, an avocado is technically a fruit, but I personally feel like it's a vegetable, and I eat avocados a lot. Does cilantro count as a vegetable? I know the answer is no, because it's an herb, but I feel in my soul that it counts as a vegetable. Same with tomatoes. I know that they're technically a fruit, but I feel like they count as a vegetable. I definitely eat more fruits than I eat vegetables. Okay, the next question is, this is one of those ones that we're going to have a little bit of a discussion on. So the question is, do you think influencers are overpaid or underpaid? And we had 53% said over and 47% said under, which is a lot closer than I thought it was going to be, if I'm being completely honest. I did get a few DMs from people being like, I was neutral on this topic, and so I just voted one way or the other because there wasn't a middle ground. And I just felt like there wasn't a super good way. I guess I could have done a sliding scale for like neutral, like you feel like it's not. But I did want to open it up to discussion. So here are some of your thoughts. We got a lot of thoughts. So this one says, I think it depends on the level of influence. I think micro influencers are underpaid. This one says, they're both, depending on who you're talking about, there's a huge middle ground gap, which is where I kind of sit. I'll read through all the responses we got, and then I'll kind of talk about how I feel. This one said, I said overpaid because of the harmful perpetuation of consumer culture. I can completely agree with that. This one says, I think I said overpaid, but I take that back. I think there's way more work that goes into it. And then this one goes along the same lines, underpaid. Their whole life is a job that's psychologically more than any 9-to-5. This one says, I think they work super hard, but compared to other occupations that are underpaid, it's hard to appreciate how much money they get for what they do. This one is like big mood. Inaccurately paid purchased followers shouldn't earn a bigger paycheck, 100%. And that's a big issue I think we have with the industry, and I'll get into that in a second. This one says, I have so many thoughts about this. I work with an influencer on brand partnerships, and I totally understand. But I also feel like we are living in a gold star society, Black Mirror, where we attribute likes, follows, influence to being better than or more than other people. I completely agree with that too. I think that influencers are just regular people. Okay, this one says, sponsors don't pay as much to quote-unquote controversial people like fat positive, mental health advocating, political influencers, but sponsors pay more to the skinny, pretty, silent girls to hit a wider audience. It makes sense from a business standpoint, but boy, does it piss me off. I want to see the influencers that make a difference in the world make more money than the skinny, pretty, silent girls that perpetuate diet culture and pretty privilege, but it may never happen. And let's see. I got a few more responses on that one. And then this one says, the reason I answered the way that I did, which was underpaid, is because I can't fathom being paid thousands of dollars for one thing. And then she said in parentheses, photography, modeling, artwork, advertising, anything really. And then she said, I don't think it's necessarily that these people get overpaid. I think it's more that everyone else is underpaid. I don't know if that makes sense. So here are my thoughts as someone who, this is my career, okay? So I recognize that I come from a biased standpoint. I'm going to say that there is a big middle ground. So like kind of the first couple of comments said, I think that small influencers, so when I say micro or small influencers, micro influencers are people who have less than 50,000 followers. 50,000 is kind of where you are considered like actually an influencer. I'm not saying people who have less than that aren't, but technically anything under is under 100 is considered a micro influencer. Personally, I think under 50 is a micro. Those people are very often taken advantage of. And the thing is that stupid is, it doesn't really matter how big you get, you will still get people who are wanting you to work for free. And I think in any industry, working for free isn't ethical. It's not ethical to ask someone to do work for literally nothing for you. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize about the world of influencing and influencers is that it really is a complete branch of marketing. And it's a very smart branch of marketing, and it's the most effective type of marketing. But again, like somebody else said, too often there are brands who do not pay enough attention to who they're working with, and they pay people who paid for their followers. Paying for followers is never okay. So that's why it's such a gray area. It's so hazy, because the answer is sometimes yes, and the answer is sometimes no. Sometimes influencers are overpaid. Sometimes influencers are underpaid. But here's really like the big thing is that what an influencer is getting paid for is less the specific post in that exact moment. What they are getting paid for is the years that they worked to build their audience. So the way that an influencer gets paid is based on the amount of followers they have, right? I think everybody could have guessed that. So let's say if someone has 100,000 followers on Instagram, the base pay that they should be getting paid is $1,000 for one Instagram post. And if they have incredibly high engagement, that's going to be more. If they have really shitty engagement, obviously they should be charging far less, because if they have really shitty engagement, there's a high likelihood that it's because their followers are bought. $1,000 is a lot of money for one post, right? Or like it may seem like a lot of money for one post. And maybe one of these days, we will revisit a money episode and I can kind of go more into my career and like my salary and how I make my money. If that's something you think would be interesting, let me know, because I could talk about this forever. This is already a long episode. I'm sorry. I'll try to wrap up pretty soon, but there's years and years and years of unpaid work that influencer did before they got to where they are now. And so when you think about it, that kind of evens out. So yes, they are making thousands of dollars on posts now, but they spent 4, 5, 6, 7 years before that getting underpaid or doing work for free to kind of build up to where they were, to build that following, to build that notoriety, to be at a point where they can turn down underpaid offers. Because a pretty common thing is people will email influencers like me and will say, okay, well, I want to work with you, but I don't have a budget. How about a pair of shoes? Or they'll say, oh, well, I can't afford your rate, but I can give you $50, right? And so there are times where you are desperate enough, or you, like, a lot of people undersell themselves. Like, if you are desperate enough for a paycheck, you will accept a lower paying job than what you deserve based on where you are. And so I think it balances out, because when you reach that point where you're making a lot of money, as long as you reached that point fairly, you know, you earned your audience organically, you did not pay for followers, your engagement is authentic, then the money that you're making then is earned. And I don't think you're being overpaid, because it is such an important branch of marketing. And it's the most effective type of marketing. And you're getting paid not just for what you're doing in that moment, but you're getting paid for the years that you worked to build up to that place. I also don't really think it's fair to say that influencers are overpaid, quote unquote, just because other industries are underpaid, because, like, there are plenty of industries that I think are far underpaid. Like, let's please pay teachers way, way, way more money. But it's a completely different branch of career. Like, money that would be going towards influencers, like in the marketing field, wouldn't be money that would be going to other people, right? Like, because influencers get paid, they're freelancers. They get paid for marketing from big brands. And so I don't really necessarily think it's fair to say they are overpaid just because other industries are underpaid. Like, I think that everyone deserves to be making more money. Like, everybody deserves a livable wage, and there are a lot of industries that are far underpaid, but I don't think it's a fair comparison because they're such different career fields. Then the last thing I wanted to say was just the point that someone made that they're underpaid because it's such a taxing job psychologically that you do it far beyond a 9-to-5. And I want to say that's the point that I agree with most, because as someone who does this career, it is far beyond a 9-to-5. I work almost 24 hours a day. Because other brands expect you to be able to respond at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. I will get emails pertinent to campaigns that I'm working on, like, that I have to reply to pretty much immediately, or people being like, we have a really short turnaround on this. I need you to, you know, reply to this right now, on Saturdays and Sundays and at 10 o'clock at night. And I will reply to those emails if I feel like it's urgent. And even if it's not, I'm spending that time to look at the email, see if it needs time to reply then, or if it can wait till the next workday. I also shoot content on the weekends. I'm trying really hard to set better boundaries with myself and when I'm allowed to work, but it is far beyond any other job I've worked. Like, I work way more hours. Even if I'm not spending all of those hours dedicated, I never stop thinking about it, and that really leaks into all other areas of my life. Okay, we're gonna get past that. Two more questions and then we're gonna wrap up. So this one says, have you read a book in the last year? 84% said yes and 16% said no. I'm honestly shocked that that number is as high as it is, because I go in and out of phases of reading, and for years I did not read a single book other than, like, reading books to my kids. Like, I did not sit down and actually read a book for a few years. And now I've been reading a lot again, and I'm, like, in a good swing, but there have been definite like years where I haven't been reading. Okay. The last question was, how much water do you actually drink every day? So this was a sliding scale. We went from none, 1 to 3 cups, and then so much I'm peeing every hour. And the average was between 1 to 3 cups and so much I'm peeing every hour. There were a few people that answered no, like absolutely no water every single day. And I will say that I'm a little bit concerned for you. I think that you should be drinking more water, because water is important, because your body's made up of water. I'm seeing, okay, only 3 people voted 0 water. So that makes me feel a little bit better. I personally, okay, so here's the thing. If I forget to carry around a water bottle with me, I will drink like 0 water all day. But I have one of those like reusable Starbucks cups. And if I fill that up every single day and carry it around with me, I will fill it up like 4, 5, 6 times. But if I don't, I literally will only drink water when I am so parched that my mouth feels like it's full of cotton. That is the only time that I'll be like, oh man, you know what? I'm really thirsty. I should go have a drink. Go downstairs, fill up a glass of water, drink like five sips, and then be done for the day until the next time my mouth feels like it's full of cotton. So that is, those are the polls. I really liked this episode. I think that we'll do this again because this was fun to see everyone's like thoughts and opinions on these things. So if you guys have, I will post, when I post about the episode tomorrow, I will have you guys comment and tell me what other topics you would like to see polls on for future episodes, because I thought this was really fun way for us all to kind of get to know each other and like see, I don't know, what everyone's opinions are, because I think we very often kind of get stuck in not our own opinions, but like I always assume everyone thinks the exact same way I do. Like I assume everybody's not going to light fireworks during a drought. And then I'm proved wrong. anyway, sorry for talking so long. I'm not sorry. This is my podcast. Make sure that you go and follow on Instagram at Your Best Friends Podcast and at Aurora McCausland. So that way you can participate in these polls, these episodes. Make sure that you make sure that you rate, review, subscribe on the Apple Podcast app, please. If you leave your Instagram handle, I will go and like every single photo you've ever posted on your Instagram account. And make sure that you share this episode on your Instagram stories if you liked it. That is the greatest gift you could give to me, and my love language is gifts. Anyway, I love you all. Good night.